We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
Lord, we just thank you for what you did last night. We thank you for what you did on Sunday. We thank you for what you're going to do tonight, Lord. We have expectancy, Lord, and we thank you for what you're going to do tomorrow night and Thursday night and Friday night and Sunday morning. And Lord, I thank you for this week, Lord, this week of encounters, this week of changed and transformed lives. Lord, I thank you. Let these meetings have an eternal effect in every person, Lord. I thank you for marking people for eternity. I thank you for branding your word in their hearts. I thank you for an insatiable hunger for your presence, Lord. A hunger like never before, like Pastor Julia said, Lord. I thank you for it. I thank you for drawing each and every one to your heart, Lord, and pouring your love in each and every one, Lord. Saturate us. Saturate us in your presence. Saturate us with your anointing, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for it, Lord. And we open our hearts to receive from you this week and even tonight. Just say this with me. Tonight is my night. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I'm ready, Lord. Do whatever you want to do in Jesus' name. Amen. If you believe that, high five your neighbor. Say, it's my night. Amen. I don't hear you. Come on, it's my night. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Man, I did not know you ever came to those nights. We started those nights with, I was working at the River in Tampa as the finance director. It was just in this little office about this big. And there's no windows in there with two other people. And working very, very hard. And we had prayed, Lord, we're doing this job, me and my wife. We had been married for about a year, and we were both working at the ministry. And it's one thing to work at the ministry. It's another thing to, like, be used by God, like, personally, you know, to impact lives, you know. And I believe every one of us is called to impact people. Amen. God has put a treasure on the inside of each and every one of us to be poured out into someone else. At every stage of your Christian walk, you have to be pouring. Can you say amen? Amen? Some people, they get saved and they think, because many churches, they'll tell you, oh, you're not ready yet. You're not ready yet. You're not ready yet. You're not ready yet. 10 years later, you're not ready yet. 20 years later, you're not ready yet. All they want is you to sit in those pews, come on Sundays and tithe. Maybe serve a little bit, you know, but that's about it. But the Bible says, and this is not my message, I'm just saying hi. But the Bible says that each and every one of us is a minister of reconciliation. Amen. Say it with me. I'm in the ministry. Do you believe that? You're in the ministry today. Ministry is not this. This is not the ministry. What is the ministry? The ministry is reconciling people with God. Amen. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. He was reaching out to people all day long. That's all he was doing. He was healing so he can get them saved. He was multiplying bread and fish so he can get them saved. He was loving on them so he can get them saved. He was with them so he can get them saved. So they would believe on him. Because for this reason, Jesus came. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's why God gave his son, so that people could get saved. Are you happy you're saved tonight? If you're not saved, we can make it happen. Amen. By the end of tonight. So, I mean, God can make it happen. Amen. But that's why Jesus came. And that's everything he did for that purpose. So us as believers, the moment we get saved, we're in the ministry. Amen. We are part of a family of believers. We're part of a family of blood-washed, blood-bought, changed, transformed people, full of the Holy Ghost, full of fire, full of love. The Bible says the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts to do something with. Amen. These meetings are awesome because we get to come back to our first love. We get God to, like, shower us, You know, like we've been out, some of you have been out and you're like all stinky and sweaty and like working hard and like, you know, not in the natural, but just like you've been just grinding, just to say it that way. You know, but you come here on your last breath to just get something from God. And God just showers you with His love. He showers you with His blessings. He showers you with His presence. And He takes you through the car wash of the Holy Ghost. And you come out completely clean and shiny. How many of you have a dishwasher at home? How many of you are the dishwasher at home? Okay, but if you have one of those automatic dishwashers, you know, if you have one, you have probably different settings on it, different programs, right? You have the short, quick one, 20 minutes, and it's like, but then you have the really long program. It might take an hour and a half. It might take 2 hours. I think the one in my house takes 2 hours. You have the 20-minute one, and then you have the 2-hour one. If you put the dirty pans and the dirty plates in there, and you don't rinse them, and you just stuff them in there, and you put it on a 20-minute program, guess what? After 20 minutes, they're still dirty. They're a little cleaner, but not really much cleaner. But when you put those same dishes in that 2-hour long, long, extensive program and really get them saturated in that dishwasher, what's going to happen? You open that thing, it doesn't matter how dirty they were. You open that dishwasher and they're shiny and sparkly and they smell citrus fresh, you know. Well, welcome in the long, extensive program of the dishwasher of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Where it doesn't matter how filthy you came in. Maybe filthy with sin, maybe filthy with depression, maybe filthy with like whatever is weighing you down. But when you come out, you're shiny, you're fresh, you're sparkly. But then you're a cup, or you're a plate, you're a pan. That thing doesn't just sit there. It's been cleaned for a purpose. Amen. It's been cleaned for a purpose. What's the purpose? To be filled and to be emptied out again. Amen. To be filled and to be emptied out again. So God can come and grab you from His cupboard and say on Monday or on Tuesday or on Wednesday or any day of the week, whenever you're out and about doing your thing, at your work, at your school, in your home, in your neighborhood, wherever, that you're a Holy Ghost agent of change. Amen. To bring change. Jesus said this, He said, you are the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. Say this with me, I'm light. I'm salt. I'm salty. Some of you smell salty, I'm just kidding. But you've been placed on this earth to make a change. Amen. And God, this week has been, that's why they don't just do one night or one service. Why can't we just do one service? Why can't we just do a 1-hour program? You come out still stinky, still messed up. Amen. We got to get you soaked up. We got to get you sparkly citrus fresh. Amen. Is that a word even? I think I just made that up. Citrus fresh. Yeah. I sound like one of those commercials. Like, ding. That's what the Holy Ghost is doing. That's why, I don't know how that is here, but in Holland, people pick a service. And many pick Friday night. I don't know why. You missed out on everything that God did Monday through Thursday. Then you show up on Friday, you say, oh my God, I needed this. Yeah, buddy, you needed this on Monday. You needed this on Tuesday. You needed more than just one night. You needed the whole week. We did the whole week just for you, and you decided to show up on Friday. Come on. Amen. The people you needed to come to most, they show up on Sunday morning. What did I miss? Everything. Everything. Just maybe find another church. You missed out on everything. Amen. But man, it's so important that you, that's why last night we made a consecration. Like, no, I'm not going to get distracted. I'm here on Monday. I'm here on Tuesday. I'm here on Wednesday. I'm here on Thursday. I'm here on Friday. Don't just pick a night. Pick every night. Amen. Because every night can be your night. Because you know what will happen? In meetings like this, they build up on each other. Where we left off last night, that's where we're starting tonight. Amen. And tomorrow night. See, if you come on Friday, you're going to get blessed. But you missed out on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Everything that God was doing in that time. And we need it. Amen. I just came out of a week like this. And I preached on Sunday morning in Amsterdam. Then Sunday night, we had the graduation of our Bible school there. We graduated about 20 students there. It's our second year now. And then on Monday morning at 5 a.m., we got in the car to go to the airplane to go to the airport to hop on a plane. Well, we fly back in time, really, from Amsterdam. So we go 6 hours back in time. So I was on time to come to the Monday night meeting. So Monday night, I'm in service, 5 hour service. Tuesday morning, I'm in service, 5 hour service. Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, Wednesday night, Thursday morning, Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning. Saturated. Amen. Saturated. Jesus said this. He said, throw out the old wineskin. We need new wineskins. Amen. We need new. You know what that old wineskin does? When you pour in the wine, it cracks. The new wineskin, why it doesn't crack? Because it's like soaked in oil. Soaked in oil. It's flexible. It's moist. And when you pour in the wine, it doesn't crack. That's why we're here this week. It doesn't matter how old and crackly you were. You're getting soaked in oil. And you might not notice the first night. You might not even notice the second night. But if you just hang around long enough, you're going to be floating down that river like, ooh. Amen. I see each and every one of you saturated this week. I thought I would get a little bit better response on that. I see each and every one of you soaked in the presence of God, saturated with His glory. Amen. Just filled up with the new wine. It doesn't matter how you came in on Sunday, but by next Sunday, you're not even going to recognize yourself. You're going to wake up in the morning with a song in your heart. You're going to go to bed dancing at night. You're going to go to sleep dreaming about the call of God. You're going to wake up burning with a passion to see people saved. Everything's going to change this week. Amen. By the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. And I just pray for each and every one of you that God stirs up a passion on the inside of you to fulfill the call. I pray that God stirs up a passion on the inside of you for people. I pray that God stirs up a passion inside of you to be used by Him in these days. I want to say this. Not any one of you is an accident. Nobody is here by mistake. Not just here tonight, but here on earth. God could have chosen you to live in the year 1535. But He chose you to live in the last of the last days for such a time as this. People might have said you're a mistake. Your parents might have said, oh, we didn't plan you. You know, maybe everyone in the world has rejected you. But God had you here for such a time as this. Amen. And God, the reason you're still alive and breathing today is because God is not done with you yet. Amen. He's not done with you yet. He's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. He's got a mission for you. He's got something specifically handmade for you. He has handpicked you to do a task for Him. Every one of us. Too many times we think that Christianity is a spectator sport where we come and we sit in the bleachers and we look at the preachers to perform their ministerial duties. But that's not how it works. You're not a spectator tonight. You're not here watching me perform. Oh, let's see how this preacher does. Let's see if we understand this guy with this strange accent. No, that's not what we're here to do. I'm here to pour out of me into you what God has placed in my life. I'm here to see you soak. I'm here to kick some of you into that river. Amen. I'm here to just give some of you a push. I'm here to just preach you hungry. I'm here to stir up a passion on the inside of you. You're not here to spectate. You're here to participate. Amen. We're all participators in the building of the kingdom of God. Each and every one in our own respect. See, you can reach people I can't reach. You can reach people they can't reach. Amen. Because you'll meet people they will never meet. You meet people I will never meet. But if you don't reach Him, who will reach Him? If you don't fulfill the purpose and plan of God for your life, who will? Who will pick that thing up? Does God have to wait for another generation to rise up? No. Amen. No. You got to have this determination on the inside of you. No. Like we learned last night. We can't have someone else fulfill the purpose that God had chosen us to do, to just push it on someone else. No. We've known too much. We've experienced too much. We've heard too much. We've seen too much. Jesus has done too much for us to just push it to someone else to do it. Each and every one of us, we have to take responsibility for our own lives, for the anointing on our lives, for the call of God on our lives. And we can't say, oh, let's wait till tomorrow or till next year. Maybe 2018 will be better for me. No, you're here tonight and this week to be filled up. God will equip you. He doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the called. He's not looking for perfect vessels. He's not looking for golden or for silver vessels. He's looking for yielded and available vessels. Somebody who will just say, here am I, Lord, use me. Lord, I'm not perfect, but just use me. If you can use anything, just use me, Lord. I might not have all the capabilities. I might not know what to say. I might not know what to do. I might not have it all together, but just use me, Lord. And in the process, get it all together in me. We don't have to wait till in 10 years we're completely. No, just get going. Just start moving forward in the plan of God. Just start burning for Jesus every day of your life. Amen. Just take steps and then see where God brings you. Sometimes we wait for the big jumps, you know, the big leaps forward. Like, God, move me forward. Like, help me to make a big leap forward. But it's not the big leaps that make the difference. It's the small, consistent steps day after day. Day after day. Small steps. And then when you keep taking those small steps forward with Jesus, then you look back a year from now and say, man, look at what God has done. Look at how I've grown. Look at, I used to be like that. Can't believe it. Look at how I've changed. Small steps. Small steps of obedience. Like on Monday when the Lord speaks to you, I want you to talk to that person about me. On Tuesday when He says, pray for that person. On Wednesday when He says, wake up an hour earlier to just pray for your family. You know, the little things of obedience that seem minor and seem insignificant, but make all the difference on the long run. Did a horn just go off? Praise the Lord. They feel the anointing outside. People are lining up, you know, to come in here. So it's the drive-through church. So who's hungry tonight? Who's going to fulfill the purpose and plan of God for your life? Amen. Who's not going to stand before Jesus with empty hands? Later this week, we'll talk a little bit about the call of God and about eternity and all those things, because that's something that really burns on the inside of me. See too many people that just live their life, you know, a normal life, but miss out on that what God has. I sat in front of a couple one day in Holland. And this was a business couple, and they were coming to the age of retirement, and we went there because they were having some problems, and they were thinking about handing the business over to their kids, and they weren't sure what to do. And we went there to pray, me and a businessman, and we went there to pray, and the businessman with me, he asked them, he said, "What's your dream? What do you dream of?" And the moment he asked that, the lady starts crying, just tears rolling down her cheeks. And he asks, what's going on? And she started saying, she's like, well, when we first got married, and even before that, when we first met each other, we would talk for hours about what we were going to do with our lives. We were going to go to Africa. We were going to start orphanages. We were going to do this. We were going to do that. We were going to live our lives for eternity. But then we got married, and, you know, you have to find a place to live, and we bought a house, we got a mortgage, then we had kids and started a business to just pay the bills. And, you know, now 40 years later, we find ourselves in a place that, yes, we've been a good parents, we've had a decent business, and we've done things all right according to the world standards, but we know there was more. We know there was more that God had for us. And we haven't fulfilled any of those dreams that we had when we were young. And thank God it was not too late, because they still have probably 20 years in their life, you know. And God can do in a few years, He can do more than we could ever dream of if we really yield and really surrender, you know. Just start where you are today. Some people always looking at the past and how they missed it and how they failed and how they missed out, and they just stuck there. But just forget about all that and just say, okay, Lord, I missed it, but just use me today. And God will use you mightily. I don't know if you remember Charles. Do you remember Charles from Atlanta? He was an elderly man. We met in one of the Great Awakening tours in Atlanta. He was about 82 or whatever when we met him. And a really sweet, sweet man. He had always been in like more traditional churches. But when he heard about revival, he came and the Lord touched him. And he became a soul winner immediately. And he just made a decision every day for the rest of my life. I'm going to go out for at least an hour and talk to people about Jesus. That man won thousands of souls. I think he lived for 3 more years and he won thousands of souls. And every time we saw him after that, he was just burning for Jesus like you've ever seen, like you've never seen before. Burning with passion for Jesus. So give God a few years and see what he can do, you know. For no one, it's too late. But this couple just sat there crying and that burned something in me. Like an anger almost, you know, like a holy anger towards all those distractions that come and like take people away from the call of God. Because there's so much. One man of God said this. He said, the greatest treasures on earth are not in the graveyards, or are not in, sorry, not in the banks of the world, but they're in the graveyards. Why? Because all the potential that has died without going fulfilled. All the unfulfilled potential that is just laid there. People that had dreams, people that had vision, people that had desires to do great things. But they just let society and what they felt about themselves, they let that keep them down and never reach their potential. And unfortunately, that's also a picture of the church. Even though the Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. The Bible says there's a treasure in our earthen vessel. The Bible says many great things. About what we can be and what we can do. That as Jesus is, so are we in this world. You know, we're literally by birth. The Bible says 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children. We are born of God. We are not of this world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We are a different breed. We're a different kind of people. We have God's nature, the divine nature on the inside of us. We have greatness on the inside of us. No one is born again for just a normal life. When we're heavenly citizens, we're seated with Christ far above all principalities and powers. What can hold us back? And it burns such an anger on the inside of me for everything that holds people back. Because you look at church and you see people, you see the potential, you see the greatness, you see the treasure. You see where people can be 10, 15, 20 years down the road if they really sold out to God and follow that plan. And that's one of my greatest desires, to just see people encounter God in such a way that it burns this tenacity on the inside of them. Like a pit bull tenacity to just lock jaws. Lock their jaw into the will of God, in the purpose of God, in the plan of God, and just not let go. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, I'm not going to let go. Whatever it takes, I'm going to press on. And wild horses can't pull me out of the will of God, out of the plan of God. I don't care if it gets uncomfortable. I don't care what people say. I don't care what they think about me. I don't care how I feel about it. I want to just do one thing with my life, fulfill His plan and His purpose. And I pray God burns that same tenacity on the inside of you, like a holy boldness, like a pit bull tenacity. To first of all find out what He wants you to do, and second of all fulfill what He wants you to do. And just lock your jaw into that thing and not give up. So that when we stand before Jesus, we stand there with much treasure. And then when you're coming up on retirement or even to your last dying days, that you're not sitting there with regrets. Man, I should have done this, or I should have not done that. I should have done more for Jesus. But that you sit there and say, like Paul said, I finished the race. I've kept the faith. And I'm passing the baton on to the next generation. That's my desire for each and every one. Amen. Who's hungry? Who's thirsty? Hallelujah. God is good. Well, before I preach, welcome to the river. We're not in a, who's in a rush? Good. Who's ready for the long program, the washer program? Well, I want to just quickly share with you. Pastor Jeremiah asked me to share with you on giving, and it's a privilege to share on it. This message has changed my life, and if you want to fulfill the call of God, you got to grab a hold of this. Amen. If you want to fulfill the call of God in your life, you have to grab a hold of this, because I see so many people called of God, anointed by God, but they don't fulfill the call of God because of money. I don't have the money. I don't have the partners. I don't have the resources. I don't know what to do. I need to take care of this. I need to take care. If I have all the money, then. When I have all the money in the bank, then I will do it. Nobody. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Amen. So we got to grab a hold of this message. We got to grab a hold of faith in God and trusting God in the area of provision and in the area of our finances. That it is. See, many people have a safety net. A so-called safety net. Have you ever heard that term? My wife loves her safety net. It gives her security. Financially, I'm talking about, you know? But many times the Lord has asked us to give away that safety net. Because the Lord wants to know, what do we trust in? What do we really trust in? It's very easy to say, I trust in God in everything. With a couple grand in the bank, you know? It's like, I trust God. Yeah, it's going to be okay. Do you really? What if everything is taken away? What if everything starts shaking? What if, just like in Greece, you show up to the ATM and you can't even get $100 out, even though you have thousands or even millions in the bank? What if all that starts shaking? What is really your trust in? Where's really the trust of your heart? I want to quickly share in Malachi chapter 1. If you have your Bible with you, Malachi chapter 1. Really, really, really awesome night last night. I really enjoyed it. It's probably the best first night I've ever had at a church. So this is a hungry church. Amen? And if that was Monday, then I don't know what's going to happen the rest of the week. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. It says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? This is God speaking. If I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Where is the fear of me? Says the Lord of hosts, unto you, O priests, that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised your name? In this, that you offer polluted bread upon my altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted you? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto your governor. Will he be pleased with you or accept your person, says the Lord of hosts. And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will he regard your person, says the Lord of hosts. For who is there even among you that would shut the door? Neither do you kindle fire on my altar for nothing. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place, incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. Say this with me, a pure offering. A pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, says the Lord of hosts. I want to talk to you just a little bit about honoring God. Say it with me, honoring God. What does it mean to honor God? God is talking here, and he's talking to the Israelites and specifically to the priests who come and offer at the altar. And the Bible says now that as born-again believers, we're a nation of kings and priests. When we bring our offerings, we're literally acting as priests. We're bringing an offering unto God. We don't bring it to a church. We don't bring it to an organization. We don't bring it to a pastor. We're bringing it directly to Jesus. Amen. It's important to remember that when we give, we're giving to Jesus and not to an organization. So anyways, God is talking here and he says, when you offer, when you bring your offering, but it's a broken offering, it's a polluted offering, it's a blind offering, it's a sick offering, it's a lame offering, does it bring honor to me? Does it bring honor to my name or does it despise my name? And he says, you have despised me by bringing an offering that is broken. In those days when they brought an offering, they didn't come with a credit card or with a check or some cash. They came with a bunch of sheep or some bulls or goats or whatever. Imagine that we're walking here down the highway here and you're blocking traffic because you have 15 goats following you. And people are asking, where's that guy going? Meh. Oh, he's just going to offer unto God at the River Rochester. Amen. It's like, man, that guy's really giving today. He's really bringing an offering. He's got 15 bulls, 18 goats, and 20 sheep. And you're just walking along. Hey, how's it going, Brian? Good to see you. Brian is walking over there. He's got 20,000 camels coming after him, you know, like blocking the whole highway here. But everybody knows, you know, this guy is going to church. He's bringing it. So we're standing here in the lobby and, man, a bunch of animals just crowding in. But then there's one guy and he comes in and his offering is coming in like this. And you ask him, what are you doing with that lame sheep? What are you doing there? Oh, I'm offering it to God. But you know about this guy, that at his house he has like 30 perfect sheep. But he's bringing this one. You're like, why are you bringing that one? And he's like, well, I thought that'd be great. They're just going to kill it anyways. Might as well just bring this one. The other ones are looking a lot better. I'd rather keep those and bring the ugly one. Amen. But what does the Bible say about that? That's an offering that despises his name. Okay, what does it mean to honor? To honor means to place value on something, to esteem something very high. So if you can honor God, when you honor God, you esteem him highly. You place a high value on him. You follow me? But if you can honor someone, you can also dishonor someone. So if to honor means to esteem highly and to place a high value on someone or something, then to dishonor means to have a low value of something and to esteem it lowly. Amen? So when we come and when we bring our offerings, we always have to check our hearts, the attitude of our heart, to see how do I come to bring my offering? Because ultimately it's all about the heart. It's all about the heart. What is going on here? When you bring your offering, do you bring it with an attitude that is to honor God, that you say, Lord, I just esteem you so highly. You're everything to me. Lord, you're number one in my life. Lord, you're higher than the highest. You're greater than the greatest. I just love you with all of my heart. See, Pastor Julie, I was talking about my wife a little bit. My wife, I mean, she's the most beautiful girl in the world. I'm the luckiest man to even be married to her. I don't deserve her whatsoever. Actually, when I first met her, after a couple times talking, I told her, man, you deserve the best. And I actually felt like I could never, ever be that person that gets to marry her. But anyways, now that I'm married to her, I feel so blessed to be married to her. And I want to express my gratitude. Why? Because I esteem her very highly. Amen. I place much value on her. Much, much, much value on her. But imagine that. When I say that, that I esteem her very highly and I place much value on her. But then when her birthday comes along, and she's like, okay, baby, it's my birthday. I'm like, yeah, I know it's your birthday. Congratulations. Have a great day. Thanks. You know, baby, I really love you so much. Have a great day. She's not going to be happy with me, right? No, she's not going to be too happy. I might, maybe, probably not, but maybe get away with it the first year of marriage. But the second year of marriage, when I better have learned to express how much I value her, what place she holds in my life. If I don't learn how to express what place she holds in my life. What is she going to feel like? She's going to feel like trash. She's going to feel like I don't appreciate her. She's going to feel like I don't esteem her higher than any other girl in the world. You know, she's going to feel very common. Can all the ladies agree with what I'm saying? Yeah. But when we come to God, it's the same thing. We come to church many times on a Sunday, and when you first get saved and you're radically in love with Jesus, you know, you're radical in everything you do. So also in your giving, you just love Jesus and you can't care less about anything else. You just want to pour everything out on Him. But even though we start out with that radical thing, like sometimes we come and we hear these messages about giving and we've heard it all and we've seen it all. And maybe we've even broken our alabaster box in the past. Maybe we've even had a moment that we poured out everything for Jesus and we said, Lord, I just love you with everything I got. Lord, I esteem you so highly. But it's been a few years. And we're just going through the motion. When offering time comes by, it's just like, well, let me just do the regular. You know? Just do the same that I always do. We forget to take the moment to really show the Lord. Does God care about our money? He has all the silver, He has all the gold. The little bit we have, it doesn't add anything to Him. What does He care about? Our affection, our honor, what Troy was talking about last night, the worship, our worship to Him. I had one service. I was in, we had just started the church in Amsterdam. We started in October 2013, and then in January, we went to the winter camp meeting in Tampa. And we're sitting in the winter camp meeting, and we had bought our tickets in faith. We didn't have the money for it. We don't normally do that, but we're just in a desperate place, you know. I don't know if you know how it is to start a church from nothing with no one helping you or no one supporting you. It's not easy. It's not easy. You guys know all about that one. But it's a good place to start. It's a good place because you can only go up from there. Amen. So we were paying personally from the bills for the church and our personal bills. And we're just doing everything by faith. You know, and God was providing. But those tickets we had bought in faith that God would provide, I just knew we have to be in those meetings. I just got to get refreshed. I got to do whatever it takes to be there on those seats to just get touched by God, just get refreshed by God. So we were sitting there and tickets were about $900 or whatever. And then sure enough, by Tuesday, somebody came up to me and just like slapped a check in my hand and said, just felt to bless you with this. You know, I didn't preach there. They didn't know about our situation. They just, the Lord speaks to people, you know. So, you know, I said, oh, thank you, brother. Bless you, brother. And I just really religiously put it in my pocket and just acted like I had it all together, you know. But at the moment, as soon as I got a moment to check, I just like checked what the amount was of the check. How many have ever done that before? So, oh, praise God. Bless you. Bless you. Well, it was $1,000 and I was so happy. I was so thankful because that was exactly the amount of the tickets after the tithe. So we tithed $100 and then we had exactly the amount we needed to pay for the tickets. So that was a great a blessing. But I hadn't gone to the bank yet. And then our last service there for that camp meeting came by. And I actually was wearing the same jacket I was at the day that the guy gave me the check. And I put it in my chest here in my pocket. So the last service, we're sitting there. And I'm just sitting there, not even thinking about the check. So I'm sitting in those seats. And just the offering time came by. And I don't even remember what the guy preached about. It doesn't really matter what he preached about. But my heart was stirred. To just show the Lord that I love Him. You know, to just give the Lord something. That to really show Him my love for Him, my appreciation for Him, my affection to Him. Lord, You mean everything to me. You're my everything, Lord. I love You with everything I got. And I don't want to just give You whatever. I want to give You something that shows You how much I love You. Lord, what can I give You today? And if you don't want to give an amount that's going to stretch you, don't ever pray that prayer. Because the moment I said that, Lord, I just love You so much and I don't want to just give You anything today. I really want to give You something that means something to me. Just name it and I'll give it to You. And the moment I prayed that, the Lord said, the check, the check. And I said, not the check, not the check. And I was arguing with God for a few minutes. How many of you have ever argued with God about something? So I was arguing with God. But as I was arguing with God, it was almost as if my chest pocket was on fire. Like the thing was going to burn up if I wasn't going to give it. So I leaned to my wife. I said, I failed to give the check. She says, is it you or is it God? Because I tend to give everything away. So I'm like, no, it's really God this time. So she's like, then just give it. So I signed it over and we just rejoiced and we placed it in a bucket. And it was such a joy to give that thing because it was an offering of love. Amen. It was an offering of love, an offering of honor, an offering that we set to the Lord and show to the Lord. Because it's easy to say, I love you. But it's another thing to put your money where your mouth is. Amen. And it's easy to say money doesn't have me until the Lord says, give me something that stretches you. And then we see where your heart is. See where your treasure is, that's where your heart will follow. The moment I put that offering of love into that bucket, the Lord spoke again to my heart. And He said, this seed will carry you for the next 12 months. We had zero partners at that time, nobody really monthly supporting us. The moment I put that check in, the Lord spoke that to me. I walked out of the service. I'd been there for a week. The only thing that people had given me, that one person gave me that $1,000 check. That day, it was like I could not even leave the building. People were coming up left and right, just putting money in my hands, checks in my hands. By the time I reached my car, I had more money in my pockets than I had put in the offering. Amen. Then I get home, and within a week, I get an email. We want to partner with you personally for $1,000 a month for the next 12 months, starting February. Well, this was January. We danced around the house. That was our first partner. I mean, that was our rent money every month. You know, we didn't even know how we were paying rent. Praise God. So here it is. It's coming back. But then I said, okay, Lord, that's great. That's starting February. What about January? Because we needed money right now. Have you ever been in a place? It's like, great, what's going to happen in February? But I don't even know how I'm going to make February. What about right now? And within a few days, I got another email. Someone else, totally different person. I didn't send out a newsletter. Oh my God, what are we going to do? Please help. Nothing. Didn't tell anyone. But God was speaking to people. And someone else said, we want to send you $1,000. What's your account number? So that one seed, that one offering of love came back 14 times in total. You can't even really count it because it comes back in so many ways. But really, the greatest thing about it is not the amount that came back, because it was not about that. The greatest thing about it is that I had a moment where I can look back on, where I can say, and I've had many of those moments, but this one really sticks out. Lord, I gave you something to show you how much I love you. And as a believer, we got to have these moments regularly. What's the last time you really asked the Lord, what can I give? What can I give that means something to me? Whatever it is, Lord. Whatever it is that I can show you my affection to you. See, when God has all of us, we also have all of God. We're in covenant with God. You know, I said it last night, some people date God while God is married to them. But when you date someone, what they have in the bank is not yours. You still have separate accounts. But when you decide, all I have is yours, I'm in a marriage covenant with God. All I have is yours, but then all you have is mine as well. Then you can never outgive God. In our time in Holland, when we also in the same season, you know, starting out, we had a moment, we call it our last supper. And we had just been pressing in and pressing in, and it was like probably 10 months into starting the church or whatever. And we came to a point that we had nothing. I mean, we were... Our credit card was maxed out, zero in the bank, no prospect of any money coming in whatsoever because no salary. And our fridge was completely empty. And we looked in the pantry that night and Jackie found some pasta and some sauce. And we made some pasta and we call it our last supper. And Liam wasn't born yet, but we sat there with Juliana, our daughter. She was about a year old at that time. She didn't really know what was going on. But we sat there at the dinner table and we just lifted our hands before we ate. And we said, Lord, thank you for this meal. We just rejoice because we know you will provide. We have no idea where it's going to come from, Lord, but you have never left us. You've never forsaken us. You've always provided for us. And you know, we know you will do it right now as well. And we know our daughter is not going to go without food in the morning. So actually, we never thought of it again that night. We never even had one more thought about it. And in total peace, we went to bed that night. And while we were sleeping, well, we woke up in the morning. And, you know, man of faith, woman of faith that we are, we check our email, we check everything, like see if it, check our bank accounts, like see if anything had come in. And Jackie checked her email. She had an email from a friend in Brazil. Okay, we're in Amsterdam. That's in Brazil. That's like six different time zones or whatever. People we haven't talked to in about a year and a half at that time. Friends from her Bible school days. She writes an email. She said, Jackie, I was sleeping. And then I had a dream. And in the dream, you and Ben and Juliana, you came over to our house for dinner. But when you came over, in the dream, I knew you weren't coming over just for the fellowship. But you were coming over because you had no food in your house. And as I woke up from the dream at 2 in the morning, their time, she said, I knew we had to give this specific amount to you. So she woke up her husband. In the middle of the night, they went to their desk, sat behind their computer, and transferred money to us and wrote that email. So that when we woke up, our time, it had just landed our account. People in Brazil. And I know they weren't the first ones that God would have spoken to, because I'm sure God spoke to a few people in Holland to do something, but they didn't listen. So he found someone all the way in Brazil and spoke to them, and they were obedient. But you know what the beauty of it is? When we start honoring God, the Bible says, when you honor him, he will start honoring you. When you start honoring him, when you start showing him your affection, when you start showing him your love, when you start showing him you're numero uno, you're number one in my life, you hold the highest place in my life. You know what God will do? God will hold nothing back to take care of you. God will speak to someone at any place in the world to make a way for you. David said this. He said, I've been young and I've been old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. How many righteous are here? Two of you. Awesome. The pastors are righteous. I'm just kidding. If you're a believer, you're righteous. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging for bread. It doesn't matter what the need is. It doesn't matter what you're facing in the natural personally at this moment. When you start honoring God in your life, when you start saying, Lord, you have number one in my life, you have the highest place, when you start showing it with your time, with your treasure, with your talents, with your tongue, with everything you've got, when you start worshiping God in spirit and in truth, you know what God will do? He'll find a way to bless you. He'll find a way to prosper you. He'll find a way to just pour his love all over you. He knows exactly what you need. He even knows the desires of your heart. The Bible says in Proverbs, delight yourself in Psalms, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. He's not just the God of meeting your needs. He's the God of more than enough. He's El Shaddai. He's looking beyond your needs. He's looking beyond the place of your needs and he's looking, okay, what's the deep desires of your heart? But until we say, Lord, what's precious to me and what's valuable to me and we give it to you, that's the people that he's going to pour it out on. It doesn't just happen for anyone. It happens for people that say, Lord, I love you with all of my heart. And one more quick story before we before I close out this thing, maybe two stories. One from the Bible, Solomon, King Solomon. In 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible says, Solomon loved the Lord at his inauguration as a king. It was the standard to give one bull as an offering. But the Bible says, Solomon loved the Lord, and he gave 1,000 burnt offerings that day. And then God, that same night, shows randomly, right? Randomly, by accident, all of a sudden. No, his offering provoked God showing up in a dream and saying, okay, I see that you love me. I see that you honor me. I see that you really value me and esteem me highly. What can I do for you? That doesn't just happen randomly. That happened because he showed God, I love you. I just want to love you, Lord. I want to just pour everything out on you. When he did, God showed up. What can I do for you? And Solomon asked for wisdom. And God said, because you haven't asked for all these other things, you asked for wisdom, I'll give you wisdom more than any other man has had. And all these other things, more than anyone has ever had. See, when we start putting God first place, there's no telling what God will do. People might have put natural limits on you to what extent you can, to how far you can go and how high you can climb in life. But when you start putting God first place, when you start honoring God in your life, there's no telling what God will do. There's no telling how far you will go. There's no telling what God will drop on you. He can give you a business that is reaching the whole world. He can give you a ministry that is blessing nations. He can give you the true riches, the anointing, that will start blessing and blessing people all over the world. He can give you a creative idea that is just a transforming thing that's gonna change the whole way of doing life. People already having inventions might as well be the people of God. But Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. And that's the problem many times. Mammon has a high money and possessions and our comfort in life takes in a higher place than God many times. You cannot, it is impossible to serve both God and mammon. It's impossible. It's impossible. Just like the prophet Elijah said, he said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Choose this day whom you will serve. It's going to be either God or it's going to be mammon. Who's going to take the highest place in your life? When you start dying to the craving of mammon and you start craving the will of God, you start craving the presence of God, you start craving to chase after Him like nothing else, then God will make sure that all those other things will be given unto you. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6 verse 33, He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will come chasing after you. All these things that people chase after will start chasing after you. When you put God's kingdom first, when you put Him first place. That's why the tithe is not just any 10%. It's the first 10%. It's the first 10%. People think it's just any 10%. No, it's the first 10%. He is first. He's first. He's first and foremost. He's number one. That's honor. That's honor. And then one more story. There was a story I heard. This is a few decades back. But there was a man who went to a camp meeting somewhere else in America. And it was about 20,000 people present that night at the camp meeting. And he was one of those people just enjoying the ministry. And just like tonight, they were talking about giving and about the offering. And he had never heard the teaching before. And he's like, wow, this is new, you know. And right as they were about to take up the offering, one man on the front row lifted his hand and said, can I say something? So the preacher must have known the guy. He said, yeah, sure. So the guy came up and he says these bold words, okay? He says to the crowd, he says, 20,000 people there, one guy here, okay? He says, whatever you guys will give tonight, I will match it, I will double it. Bold statement. 20,000 people, one guy. I don't know, 20,000 people can give quite a few dollars, yeah? One guy, I mean, it's a bold statement. And if you're anything like me, and this man who tells the story, he said it too. He's like, that guy irritated me so much with his big mouth. I made sure that the offering was very, very big, just so that he would be ashamed and embarrassed. Like, oh man, I my mouth was too big. How many would have done that? I would have been like, I'm going to give a big offering just to irritate this guy so that he's going to lose all his money just right here because he had a big mouth. So this guy wrote out a big seed or whatever, and he's like, let's see what this guy's going to say when the offering total is given. So the man of God preached, and then at the end of service, they gave him the offering totals, and they announced the total. And again, this guy comes forward. You know what he said? It was, I think, $3 million or whatever had come in total in the offering. So this man came up, and he grabs the microphone again. He says this, is that all you could do? Annoying person. Is that all you could do? 20,000 people irritated with him. But this man who tells the story, he says, I don't know what this guy knows, but I have to know what this guy knows. He's tapped into something that I don't know. He's speaking so boldly about this thing. Like, I got to know what this guy has learned, what this guy has tapped into. So after the service, he runs down to grab a hold of this guy. And he grabs a hold of this guy and he says, tell me your secret. How can you talk like this? He finds out the man's story. 5 years prior, all the man had was $500 to his name. $500. But he got convicted to start. He had an idea or something that the Lord gave him, and he started a business. And in starting the business, he made a deal with God. He said, Lord, I'm starting this business with this $500 I have. And I am not going to embarrass you. I am not going to dishonor you by giving you 10% and keeping 90% for myself. As a matter of fact, I am going to keep 10% and I will give you the 90%. 5 years later, his yearly profit was $55 million in 5 years. In 5 years. What will God do with our lives when we really start honoring God from our hearts? Not from a scheme like, what can I get out of this thing? But really from a heart that says, Lord, I love you with all of my heart. Lord, I don't want to dishonor you. Lord, I don't want to embarrass you. Lord, I want to give you something that means something. Lord, I want to show you not only in words, but also in deeds that you are number one in my life, that I love you with every fiber of my being, with every cell in me, from my head to my toes, that I love you and that I honor you. When we start doing that, then our giving will start getting God's attention. And God will start looking, what can I do for them? Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.